Prem Purushottam Sachi Nandana Goda Hari Ki Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Shri Radha Kun Shama Kun Giri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Shri Shri Nitai Gaurahari Ki Sankirtan Yajna Ki Brihat Mridanga Bhukta Shibhushan Ki Gro Premanandi Samaveda Bhakta Binda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyana Dimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So I'd like to thank everyone very much for coming today to Gornitai Temple and coming for some association for some Krishna Katha. We'd like to spend a few minutes reading something from Bhagavad Gita and have some contemplation on its purport for us, its relevance for us. I'd like to read something from my favorite chapter of Bhagavad Gita, or one of my favorites, chapter 1. Many people, they say, chapter 1 is not very exciting. There's not much philosophy there. It really begins in the later chapters. But chapter 1 is so relevant for me. It's very, very nice. And I'll read a few different verses from this chapter. In text 21, Arjuna tells Krishna, Senayarubayor madye, ratam stapayame chuta. Hey, Krishna, cello, move the chariot. He tells him, you take my chariot in between the armies of both sides, because I want to see who I have to fight with. And then what did Krishna do? Krishna brought the chariot in between both armies. And Krishna pointed out the enemy. He waved at both armies. He said, here's the enemy, Arjuna. And then Arjuna, he saw on the opposite team, he saw his friends and relatives, his grandfather Bhishmadeva, his teacher Dronacharya, his friend Ashwatthama, his cousin brothers Duryodhana and others. And he had a crisis. I'd like to read something to you about his crisis. It's
very interesting. This section of the Gita, many acharyas, they've called this Vishad Yoga. Vishad Yoga means the yoga of lamentation. It's a very relevant thing for all of us to understand. So, Arjuna told Krishna, seeing all these friends and relatives on the other side, I feel the limbs of my body quivering, my mouth's drying up, my whole body's trembling. Viputascha sharire me roma harsha shajayate. My hairs and my body are standing on end. Ganda idam shamsate hastat vakchaiva paridhayate. And my bow gandaiva is slipping from my hand and my skin is burning. In text 30, Arjuna tells Krishna, Nacha saknom havastatum brahmataiva chame manaha nimitani cha pasyami viparitani keshava. He said, Krishna, I'm now unable to stand here any longer. Do you ever feel like that? I can't take it anymore. It's too much. The children screaming, the pressures at work, this person harassing me. I can't take it anymore. I'm now unable to stand here any longer. I'm forgetting myself. And my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. O Krishna, you killed Keshi. Keshi was such a big, terrible demon. So now you should kill this demon in my heart. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, due to his impatience, every word has so much meaning. Due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield and he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. Bhayandutiya binivesita shat, Bhagavatam 11.2.37. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory over the foe. The words nimitani viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectations, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be a cause of lamentation for him. He said, Nachashayunipashyami hatvasvajanamuha ave nakamshi vijayam Krishna nacharajam sukanicha. Krishna, I don't see how any good can come from killing my own kinsman in this battle. Nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. What's the point? Oh, you can win the whole kingdom. Great. Who am I going to share it with? I'm going to kill all my friends and relatives. And then we'll get a kingdom. What do we do with the kingdom? Arjuna went on to describe, sin will overcome us if we kill them. They're our relatives. What will we gain by killing our own kinsmen? He said, Jadi mam apritikaram asastram sastrapanaya dhartarashtra nehanyus tanme shimataram bhavet. O Krishna, better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra with their weapons in hand kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. Evam ukvarjuna sanghe ratupashta upavishat visrijasa saram chapam shoka samvigna manasaha. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. This is suicide. The Bhagavad Gita also speaks about suicide. Arjuna said, I'm not going to fight. I'm putting my weapons down. Let them kill me. They say that in America today, the largest cause of death for teenagers is suicide. It's a very, very heavy thing. Why do people want to kill themselves? Why is it that Arjun can't tolerate and doesn't want to be in the battle anymore? Doesn't want to fight, even though Krishna himself is pushing. I'm now unable to stand here any longer. I'm forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. Oh Krishna, killer, the Keshi demon. Prabhupada says, due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay in the battlefield. And he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of mind. This is a very relevant section for all of us, I think, in Bhagavad Gita. Because we all go through crises in our life. This crisis is the foundation of Bhagavad Gita, the foundation of the greatest spiritual teachings in the history of the world. It's said that success lies on the foundation of failure. So why is it that Arjuna is feeling this? What is he feeling? He's saying that I'm forgetting myself. It means that I'm forgetting I'm a spirit soul. I'm forgetting, Krishna, that I'm your servant. What is so powerful that makes Arjuna forget this? First of all, let's understand that Arjuna's not forgetting. But Krishna has put him in this situation. There's a logic called Shakachandra Nyaya, which means the logic of the branch and the moon. The child wants to see the moon. Where is the moon, mother? Right there. Oh, I don't see it. Where is it? Oh, do you see the tree? Yes, I see the tree. Do you see the branch? Yes, I see the branch. Okay, just on the edge of the branch, there's the moon. Oh, now I see it. She's indicating something else other than the moon to indicate the moon. Krishna is indicating Arjuna, but actually he's indicating us. This is Shakachandra Nyaya. So what is the bewilderment of Arjuna? What is our bewilderment? He asks Krishna, do you please take my chariot? Senayorubayor madhye ratam stapayame chuta. Take my chariot in the midst. I want to see who's here to fight with me. Who's my enemy? And Krishna waved at both armies, indicating to Arjuna that Arjuna, the enemy is not the Kauravas. The enemy is not Duryodhan. The enemy is your bodily conception of life. Why is Arjuna feeling so much anxiety? Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse from 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Bhayam vitiya abhinivesa tashat. That fear arises when someone sees something separate, dvitya, from the Lord. Arjuna is seeing something separate from the Lord. Therefore, this bhayam arises in him. Abhinivesita, because he's absorbed in that. Ishada petasya viparyo smiti. Because he sees something separate from the Lord, he's a smiti, he forgets everything. Apetesha viparyayo, and he thinks that everything's going to have an opposite result. Sometimes we feel like this. I'm going on in my life, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I don't see any good result. And I'm fearing we're having a crisis. And people become depressed. People even want to take their own life. Tanmaya yato buddha abhajatam. We become absorbed in this illusory energy. And then apetasya vipariyo smriti. We start thinking of ourselves in terms of what's called upadis. or designations. Who are we? If I asked you who you are, probably everybody here, you're all very sophisticated persons. You'll say, I'm a spirit soul. Aren't you? Please accept my obeisances. But do we really think of that? Are we really absorbed in that? In medical science and psychology, sometimes they say that someone is having an identity crisis. We say everyone is having an identity crisis. And we're all looking for some identity. Who am I? I need to know that. When the living entity takes birth in this world, that child doesn't think, I'm a boy, I'm a girl. I like the Beatles, I like the Rolling Stones, I like this thing or that thing. I'm a sophisticated person, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. It has no idea. It doesn't even know what a boy or a girl is. It's just born. And the Vedic literatures say the first concept of self is anumoya. I am hungry. That's the first thing the living entity thinks. And he identifies with that. That's who I am. I am hungry. And then a little later, oh, mother. This is mother. This is father. I'm a child. Oh, I'm a little girl. Oh, I'm daddy's little girl. I have friends. I'm someone's friend. I have toys. These are all upadis, designations. They have nothing to do with us. We go shopping for designations in the same way that someone goes to the shopping mall to buy clothes. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty tough and adventurous. I'm going to buy some leather pants. A leather coat with spikes on it. That's my real self now. And then maybe next week, no, that's not really cool. I'll get some tights and I'm going to do some yoga instead. And that's who I am. Or then I want to be a surfer or a skier or this or that. And we purchase our identities off the rack. When I was a little boy, my father made a little house for us, a little playhouse. And in that playhouse, we had a policeman's uniform. We had some of my mother's clothes. We had an army uniform. We had so many different types of clothes. And we would put them on, and we would pretend that we were this person or that person. This is upadis. And everyone is trying to figure out, who am I? Because if we don't have an understanding of who I am, how can I do anything? What is my purpose in life? First of all, I have to understand who I am. Then I'll understand what I should be doing. So our little girl. She's daddy's little girl. She's going to school. I'm a student. I'm a good student. The teacher likes me. And then when she gets, 12 or 13 years old, maybe 14, she gets a new designation. I'm a goddess. And all the little boys are coming after me. Like this. And they're worshiping me. Life's good. It's nice to be a goddess. They like that. And then I have a boyfriend. I have a new designation. I'm a girlfriend. And he says the magic words to me. What are the three most magic, powerful words in the English language? I love you. My life is fulfilled. I was waiting for someone to tell me that. Oh, he left me and went with another girl. Oh. But then someone else comes and says the same thing. Oh, and then he left me also. But then this other one, this is the real thing. I love you. Oh, I'm waiting for someone to tell me that. Because I want someone to recognize me. Because I'm wearing these tight jeans. I'm dressing like this because this is who I am. This is my designation. And then I become a wife. Oh, it's a nice designation. Then I become a mother. Very, very nice. But is that really who you are? If your husband dies, are you a wife anymore? If your baby dies, Hare Krishna, are you a mother anymore? You have this identity. But this identity is just an upadhi, a designation, which is based on some other living entity. And this causes so many anxieties. And this is Arjuna's problem. There's no big problem for himself, no problem at all. He's got Krishna with him. But he's forgetting that. And he sees, there's my grandfather, Bhishma Dev, there's my teacher, Dronacharya, my teacher, my grandfather, my cousins, my friends. Everything is all about me. These are my identities. This is my, how I understand who I am. How can I kill them? They say in psychology that one of the greatest difficulties in life people go through, one of the biggest anxieties, suffering, is when you lose your mother. Because you identify so much with that person. It's my mother. I'm her little boy. I'm her little girl. I came out of her body. And then when your mother dies, you have an identity crisis. Now, who am I? There's no one there to call me boo-boo anymore. Or son. Huh? What's my identity? Oh, I'll go back to the store and buy something off the rack. And there's so many big companies that want to encourage us to do like this. These upadhis cause so much anxiety. When we lose our mother, we lose our relatives, it's like we're losing part of ourself. It's part of my identity. It's who I am. I've carefully constructed an identity for myself. And now a big part of my identity is gone. And I'm having a crisis. Because, as Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, he says that Arjuna was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of his mind. This is the fault of upadhis. And in this world, everyone is attached to these upadhis, these designations. This is how we identify ourselves. It's a conglomerate formed of different gross and subtle attachments. When we say I, it doesn't refer to myself as a spirit soul. It refers to this identity I have. Yes, I'm a traveling preacher. I'm a writer. I made this book. I'm her husband. I'm the son of such and such. I'm a disciple of such and such. My house is in such and such place. Is that who you are? None of those things are me. Those are just different identities, different things that I'm acquiring and putting onto myself. Children become very attached to toys. Why? Because they can exercise their sense of control over something else. Otherwise, children, they live a very frustrating life. They want something in the store, but they don't have money. And no matter how hard they scream, maybe their parents won't buy it for them. They can't exercise control over others. So when a child gets a toy, yes. We have a friend, she became a devotee in Seattle, Washington. Before she joined, in high school, she was something like a punk rocker. And she used to have a little cute, really cute, soft, little fuzzy teddy bear. And that teddy bear, she'd stuck all kinds of safety pins and things in that teddy bear. Because I can control that. I can do something with this. I'm a very weak person. I can't stick pins in him. He's bigger than me. But I have this baby toy here. I can do things to that. Children like toys in this way because they can express their frustration by smashing that toy, smashing some other object. They build up a building of blocks and they come bash it. Yes, I'm the controller. Because the child can't control in any other way. Adults often treat others as though they were toys. If a son disobeys the father, then the father becomes angry and punishes or disowns the son. Why? Because of upadhis, because of designations. I love you when you're my son. My son means when you're behaving the way I want. I have a friend, it's a story I often tell. It's a true story. I know of one man from Egypt. And he was born in a royal family there. His brother is one of the leading generals. I don't know today. They've been changing things a lot. But was one of the leading generals in the Egyptian army. And this man went to America to find his fortune. He's very intelligent. He got two PhDs, one from Yale and one from Harvard. Very intelligent man. And he started a business. He became a multimillionaire. He had a big house, nice cars, beautiful wife and everything. But he had no children. So one day his wife became pregnant. He was very happy. And he decided, my son is going to grow up and become the president of the United States of America. He had this kind of attitude. So he was very unhappy when the sonograph test came back and they told him, it's a baby girl. He said, okay, my girl, when she grows up, she'll be the first lady president of the United States of America. He was thinking like that. And so his daughter grew up with a proverbial silver spoon in her mouth. She had private tutors, she was going to a private school, nice clothes, everything. When she got about 15 or 16 years old, he bought her a very nice, expensive car. He sent her to the university after she graduated from high school. And one day, she came home from school. She said, Dad, I was at school today, and I met these really nice people, and they gave me this book. Bhagavad Gita, it's really far out. And a few days later, she came back to her father, Dad, I started reading this book, and I want to join the Hare Krishnas. That father, who loved his little girl like anything, what did he do? He told her then, I hate you. You're not my child anymore. I reject you. What is this? She grew up. She was the apple of his eye. She was going to be the first lady president of the United States. He loved her so much. Because of upadis, designations. I love you as this designation, as my daughter, as an obedient daughter, and if you don't do what I want, then I hate you, then I reject you. This is not love. The Bhagavatam speaks about what is love. In the first canto, love is defined as ahaitaki apratiyata, yayatma supersedati. Love which really satisfies the heart. Mick Jagger's still looking for that satisfaction. Love which really satisfies the heart must have two qualities. It should be ahaitaki and apratiyata, with no motivation. But we have so many motivations, isn't it? Oh, baby, I love you, honey. He doesn't love you. What does he love? What does it mean, this love? There's three different ways we can think about love according to the identity we have. One is called stul deha priti, affection for the material body. And baby, hubba hubba. We know that kind of so-called love leads to violence. It's not real love, it's exploitation. I love the way you look. I love how you'll satisfy my senses and let me enjoy with you. Or she may think like that. And what is it that you'd love about her anyway? Well, she's so beautiful. What is her beauty? It's the way the sun shines through her hair. It's just so beautiful. Okay, fine. Buy a wig. You can hang it in the window. And then your sweetheart will be with you anytime you want. It's practical. You can save a lot of money on chocolates and movies. No. It's the feel of her skin. Oh, it drives me mad. I love it. Okay. All right. Take her to the beach in the summertime when she gets a hot sunburn. And then a few days later when her skin peels off, collect it in a bag. And then you can keep it around your neck. And you can rub your sweetheart whenever you want. It's really sick. It's really, really shallow. They say that something like 70 or 80% of the murders and violence in the world take place in the home between the husband and the wife. And the young boy says, oh, baby, I love you. But as we say sometimes, a few pizzas and ice cream down the road, and she becomes a little more like this. She has more to love. Then we look for a new model. Because we have a garbage culture. And we change cars, we change cell phones and computers, we change wives every few years to get a new model. That's what we learn. So stul deha priti, affection based on the gross body, is very shallow. In fact, it's about 1/16 of an inch deep. That's how thick your skin is. You're attached to her. She's so beautiful. Okay, well then, what is it you're so attracted by? Well, I'd like it if she took off her clothes. We say, okay, fine, do that. But why stop with the clothes? Why don't you take off her skin also? Then we'll really get down to it. What's really exciting then, huh? Like one of those medical books, you know, you have is a picture of a nude person. You flip the page, and there's, you see all the blood vessels and muscles and things. Then you flip the next page, and you can see the organs of the body. Boy, that's really sexy, huh? And the heart and the kidney and all the different intestines, and you can smell it, really nice thing. Then you flip the next page, and you see the bones. Now that's really getting down to it. So what is it you love about her? It's just based on exploitation. It's some complete fantasy. So this stul deha priti is very shallow. Better than stul deha priti is sukshma deha priti, attachment to the subtle body. We both like chess, hey! We both like the same rock and roll band. Yeah, that's really cool. But then maybe a few weeks later she decides, I don't like rock and roll anymore. Now I like classical music. And this relationship's not going to work out. So then it's also pratiyata. It has an end to it. It's not real love. Real love has no end. And it's ahoitaki. It has no motivation. This love of stul deha priti or sukshma deha priti has some motivation. I love her because she's hot. Or I love her because we have the same interests. It's really cool. We can go to the same movies together. Because really, I love myself. And anybody who likes the same things that I do, then I love them because I love myself. They have the same interests that I do. It's not real love. Real love means atma deha priti. Means love for the soul. That love is ahoitaki. Even if someone throws acid on her face, and her face is burned off, Hare Krishna. Even if she changes her desires, you still love that person. Because you love them as a soul. And that type of love is yayatma supersedity. It's very satisfying to the heart. This is what Mick Jagger's looking for. And it's apatiyata. It never ends. The love that this father had for his little girl was hoitaki priti. It was love with a motivation. I love you when you listen to me. I love you when you do what I want, when you act according to the upadis, the designations I've given you. You came out of my body. My father used to say sometimes, I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. These are upadis. It's hoitaki love. It's love with the motivation, and it's pratiyata. It ends. It has an ending. When the person dies, or when your child becomes a Hare Krishna devotee, or even sometimes I see in our own movement, some devotee couple has a child, and when the baby's 3 years old, he's playing the kartals, and the parents are so proud. See? Maybe he's an incarnation. Probably the next acharya in our movement. He likes kirtan so much. You've seen that before. And then they grow up, and they're about 14 or 15. And the parents say, come on, we're going to the temple. And the child says, get lost, Dad. I want to go with my girlfriend. I want to smoke this thing. I want to drink something. I want to do this or that. And then the parents have a crisis. And they say, you're not my son anymore. I hate you. That's not love. This Krishna conscious movement is about teaching people what is real love. Real love is ahoitaki apratiyata. With no motivation and no end. I love you. I don't agree with you. but I still love you. When I was a young man, my mother told me once, she said, I'll always love you. Even if you become a murderer, you go to prison or something, I'll still love you. This is the kind of love a mother has for the child. It's ahoitiki, without any motivation. Still, there's some upadi, some designation there. But in spiritual life, we should love each other, huh? Because they're spirit soul, because they're serving Krishna. I may not agree with you, but love means you have the right to do what you want to do. And I'm going to respect that. Because that's independence. If there's no independence, there's no question of real love. It's not that you go to school with a gun and you point at someone's head and say, be my friend. Okay, I'll be your friend. Don't pull the trigger. It's not a very satisfying relationship. It's not based on real love. Real love is something which is unmotivated. And the person on their own decides to do that. So we have to trust each other. We have to trust our children. And give them real love. I don't agree with you, but I still love you. And I'll always be here for you. You may do this thing or that thing, but I'm always here. And you can always come back. That's very powerful. This is the message of our Krishna consciousness movement. These upadis lead to so much anxiety. And people who have upadis, it's a guarantee they're going to cry. Because I'm so attached to these tight jeans that are faded. But then, my best friend borrowed them and he dropped them off the train by accident and they got destroyed. Or they got lost. Then I lose part of my identity. Your clothes are not going to last. And your taste in music may not last either. So these things, they come and they go, and they're the cause of anxiety and frustration. There's a story that we printed a few years ago in our Krishna Katamrita magazine. I think, yes, she's right there. It's a story of one king of Puri in the 1700s. He ruled about 1730 or so. His name was Ramachandra Dev. He was a king of Puri, great devotee of Lord Jagannath. One day, one of his ministers came in to see him. The minister was in great anxiety. He said, Maharaj, there's a big problem. There's a huge army of Muslims on their way to Puri. They're coming here to break the temple, to break Lord Jagannath. The king asked how many warriors they have. It didn't look good. They fought several battles. The warrior, the general in the Muslim army, his name was Taki Khan. And Ramachandra Dev wasn't able to defeat him, although they fought several battles. Then one day, someone came with a letter for Ramachandra Dev. Dear Maharaj, why are we fighting? We should just meet together and be friends. So many people are dying unnecessarily. Signed sincerely yours, Taki Khan. Oh. So Ramachandra Dev went to meet with Taki Khan. But it was a trick. And Taki Khan captured him and put him in the Barabati fort in Cuttack, where he stayed for just a little over 1 year. He lost everything, his kingdom and everything. Then one day, Taki Khan came to see him. Taki Khan said, Maharaj, I feel really bad seeing you here in prison like this. You know, I was thinking about it. I'd like to let you out. Would you like that? Not only would I like to let you out, but I was thinking I'd like to reinstate you as the king of Puri. And not only that, but I'd like to promise you that I won't attack the Jagannath temple. Would you like that? Ramachandra Dev was quiet. And Taki Khan said, it's only one small condition. You have to agree to become a Muslim. Which, in those days in India, they had a certain way of conversion. They would force him to eat some cow flesh. Because they knew you can put on some different clothes, but it's not really going to change things. But for the Hindus, it was such a big thing if you take cow flesh. Oh my God. So Ramachandra Dev, he thought, what is the value of my life? Better let me die. Let me be a servant of Jagannath. Let me save Jagannath. Let me serve Jagannath in whatever way I can. So he said, okay. So then Taki Khan, he gave him a Muslim name. Probably he gave him some cow flesh. He gave him a Muslim name. And he gave him a tagia, one of those Muslim hats. And let him go. Ramachandradev went home. He had his palace in Kurda. And he went to the gate of the palace, knocked on the door. Hey, sweetheart, it's me, your husband, I'm here. Ramachandradev, like many kings in India, had many wives. The wives, oh my God, it's our husband. They went and opened the door, looked at him, said, what's that thing on your head? He said, well, there's something we have to talk about. And he explained to them, I did this for Lord Jagannath. I made this sacrifice. And they told him, we don't care. You've become a Muslim. You're not our husband anymore. And they left him. We have one wife. If our wife leaves us, we cry. He had many wives. If we lose one child, we'll cry. He had so many children. All of his wives took their children and went back to their father's homes. Ramachandradev made such a sacrifice. And what did he get in return? His wives rejected him. So feeling very depressed, he thought, anyway, I'll go see my best friend. And I can explain him, talk to him about it. So I went and knocked on his door. Hari Bol, it's me, Ramachandradev. Open up, I need to talk a little bit. And there's a voice from the other side of the door. You're not my friend anymore. Go away. Everybody rejected him. His wives, his children, all of his friends. Ramachandradev thought, anyway, I have one person in my life, Lord Jagannath. So he went to Puri to go inside the Jagannath Mandir to see Lord Jagannath, who he just saved, who he did the greatest sacrifice in his life. He gave up his Hindu position. He gave up his wives, his children. He gave up all of his friends, everything. At least I have Jagannath. When he started going inside the temple, the chokidar said, "Hup! Where are you going?" "I'm going inside the temple." "Maharaj, probation is shade, entrance forbidden." "What are you talking, man? It's me, the king of Puri. Get out of my way." "Maharaj, we know who you are. You became a Muslim. You can't go inside the temple anymore." So how does he feel then? Even Krishna's rejected me. I gave everything to him. My sons, my wives, my friends, society, everyone now hates me because I did the greatest sacrifice. I did a service for Lord Jagannath. What kind of reciprocation is this? Is it nice? Prabhuji? No, not nice. So Ramachandradev started going to the temple of Puri, Jagannath Mandir, every night. After the temple had closed, he would just stand in the street and cry and pray, "Jagannath, please help me, help me, help me." And he got no answers to his prayers. Nothing happened. I know many people in the world who become atheists for much less than this. But Ramachandradev never stopped going. Finally, it became too much. And he thought, better I commit suicide. Nata saknoma vasta tum brahmataiva chame manaha nimitani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. I can't stand here any longer. I can't tolerate it anymore. I'm forgetting myself. My mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. O Krishna, kill her, the Keshi demon. Ramachandradev thought, better that I die. And that night when he went there, he didn't stand in the street. He fell down on his knees, and then he fell down on the ground and was just laying in the dirt in the street and crying and sobbing. His tears are creating mud there in the street. And then suddenly, Ramachandradev heard a voice. "I never forgot you. You're my devotee." And Ramachandradev looked up. No one was there, but there was Lord Jagannath. Ramachandradev, I've never forgotten you. You're my very dear devotee. And then Ramachandraday really began to cry. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dana, Bhakti Krishna Nama Smarana Dandana Palo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dana, Bhakti is the greatest wealth, Bhakti is the greatest wealth. Bhakti is the greatest wealth. Why are you working so hard to make money? Okay, okay. What is bhakti? Bhakti a Krishna nama. Bhakti is Krishna's name. But smarana, remember chanting Krishna's name and remembering Krishna, not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Ram. Huh? But thinking of Krishna when we chant, smarana and krandana, crying for Krishna. This crying is known as atma krandana, or the crying of the soul. And this is when our spiritual life really begins. Not when you buy a Bhagavad Gita, not necessarily when you become a life member, or you become the biggest donor in the temple. Not even necessarily when you become initiated. But our spiritual life really begins when we begin to cry for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada described this on the cover of the record album. He said, this chanting of Hare Krishna is exactly like the cry of a child for its mother. We should learn, Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion, the simple art of crying for Krishna. We're crying for so many things, but we're not crying for Krishna. The next morning, when the pujaris came to the Jagannath Mandir, they found something very strange. There was a trail of flowers. Jai Shishi Gorni Tai. Going from inside the Jagannath Mandir to the gateway. Couldn't figure out who did this. And then the next morning they came, it was there again. Every day they started, they were coming, and that was there. Then one night, Mahalakshmi Panda, the head priest of the temple, had a dream. And Jagannath came to him and he said, hey, Mahalakshmi, is his name, I'm not happy with the way you've been treating my devotee, Ramachandraday. So what I want you to do, I want you to make a deity. Can I have that magazine right there? I want you to make a deity of me at the doorway to the temple. Now this is very interesting. He could have told him, Badmas, rascal, you let him inside the temple. But he didn't. Because even God respects organized religion. Even God goes along with the GBC. He could have done that. But instead he had him make a deity by the entrance of the temple. You can see on the front of this cover, I know from a distance, but here's this deity. This deity is called Patit Pavan Jagannath, with the most merciful Lord. And he came there for Lord Ramachandradev. He came there for all of us. He came there in response to the devotee's tears. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, he says, Name prasvatita hoi rupa guna karma. That according to the devotee's desire, when the devotee begins to chant, from that name, Name Prasvatita means to blossom. Name Prasvatita hoy Rupa Guna Karma. From the name, if you chant sincerely, Krishna will come to you. And Krishna's come to all of you. You were chanting, maybe you were crying a little bit. Yeah, you're chanting, and Krishna's manifest in the form of Sri Sri Gorni Thai. They're a manifestation of your chanting. You should think like that. And you see their form, and if you keep chanting from Rup, you'll see Guna, you'll see their qualities. How sweet, how merciful they are, how loving they are. And next, after Guna, will come Karma. You'll see their activities, their pastimes. You'll see Adyapya Chaitanyai Shabalila Koi, how Goralila is going on today. You'll see that thing directly. So, people in the material world, when they're put in a situation like Arjun, and they don't see how any good can come from it, they kill themselves. Because they don't see any solution. We also advocate that. We also advocate suicide. Not taking a gun and killing yourself. But the suicide that we advocate is material suicide. Give up your television. That's like suicide. A lot of people would rather die than give up their television. I know, it's a fact. Give up all of your upadis and just surrender to Krishna. Like Ramachandradev. He lost all of his designations. I am the king. I am the man. I am someone's friend. I am her husband. I am his father. I am a devotee of Jagannath. And he lost all those designations. Krishna took all those designations away from him. Krishna completely smashed him. Now you're a Muslim. Now you've lost your wife, lost your children, lost your friends, lost your everything, your society, your position in society. Now everyone hates you. Very good. Krishna tells Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, Yashaham Anunigrami Harishitaddanam Shanai. If I'm really merciful to someone, then I take everything away from them. Because then they learn to cry for me. And that's what this movement is all about. Arjun, Krishna tells Arjun in the Adi Purana, Gatvacha mama nama adi rudanti mama sanido, tesha maham parikrito nanya krito janardhanaha. He says, Arjun, everybody's claiming me. I go all over the world and everybody says, God belongs here in our place. The Christians say that, the Muslims say that, the Hindus say, everybody says that. He says, but Arjun, I'll tell you something. I don't belong to the Christians. I don't belong to the Jews. I don't belong to the Muslims. I don't belong to the Hindus. I hope I don't get in trouble saying this. But I don't belong to the Hare Krishnas either. I belong to anyone who chants my name and cries for me. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, this Krishna conscious movement is a non-sectarian movement. And we accept members from any religion. And they can keep the religion. He wrote a letter like this in 1968 to the Governor General of Canada. And he said, we have members in ISKCON who are Muslims, who are Christians, who are Hindus, and they can keep their respective religion. All that we're trying to do is to teach people the art of learning to cry for God. And if you want to call Him Allah, you want to call Him Yahweh, or Jesus, or this, that's fine. But please, learn the art of crying for the Lord. Atma Krandana. This is the purpose of this movement. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dana. Bhakti Krishna Nama Sadhana Krandana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is our Hare Krishna movement. Can you imagine if the whole world started crying for God? And they can call Him Allah, they can call Him Yahweh, they can call Him Buddha, whatever you want to call Him, we don't care. But if the whole world started crying for God, this is the purpose of our movement. And for those of you who may not be taking part in this movement, we'd like to invite you. Please come and help this temple, can use your support, and help teach people this art of Atmakrandana, crying of the soul. We'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktabinda ki jai, Goprema-nandi. So, I have an announcement, and there's some questions, I think. We have a free email magazine called Sri Krishna Kathamrita Bindu. And you too can be a subscriber if you'd like. It's a free magazine. It comes out by email every Ekadasi. We've been doing it for over 15 years. We have nearly 10,000 subscribers now. And every issue has stories like the ones we told today and new translations, things you haven't seen before, and wonderful things from Srila Prabhupada. So if you'd like to subscribe for that, we'll pass this paper around, and you can please put your email address so you can go and see the nice lady. Raise your hand. This is nice lady. This is Krishna Kun. She's my better half. 52%. If you're nice to her, maybe she'll give you some subscription for you. So there's some questions. Question number one. Many devotees are having problems within themselves. Let us try to be loving and caring towards them when they come to the temple. And a question, why do we sometimes find it hard to show love and affection towards those who are closest to us? I have a problem following authority. How do I overcome this anartha? So, it's a fact. You can give so much philosophy, but we travel all over the world, and we found, very honestly, most people have no interest in philosophy. Really honestly. And I don't think that so many of us actually came here because of philosophy. We came here because of love. Because we met someone who cared about us. And this is why we become devotees. But why is it then after we become a devotee, when you come to the temple for the first time, everybody says, oh, it's so nice, you're so wonderful, you're so sweet. You say, but I'm eating meat. That's okay. We don't mind. You just come, you just chant. Oh, these people are so nice. And then you become a devotee, and after you're a devotee for a little, hey, I saw you picking your nose. What are you doing, huh? And we're criticizing them for so many things. Why do we do that? Why? Because of upadis. When we give someone else an upadi, we're trying to control them. We think, I own you. You are my child. You're my son, my daughter. You'll behave the way I want. I made you a devotee. You're a devotee of this temple. You should listen to me. Be respectful to me. Do the way that I want. And if you don't do that, then I become upset. And I start chastising you. Please, we shouldn't be like this. This is a neophyte mentality, which drives people away. I have a problem following authority. How do I overcome this anartha? Well, if we chant Hare Krishna, all anarthas will go away. And we'll see that Krishna sent me this authority. I have this karma. Krishna wants me to have this authority. This is good for me. So let me accept it. And the authority may be very difficult. Chaitanya Prabhu is a very heavy, angry person, I know. I can see. Very frightening guy. But I don't think he's going to stop you from chanting Hare Krishna. He can't control you, what you're doing in your house. Why do we complain about him? Why do I complain about my wife? Why do I complain about the temple president and the FBI and the CIA and the GBC and this and that? And I have so many complaints. And I'd be a pure devotee if it wasn't for XYZ. Why don't I take the responsibility? Because no one can stop you from chanting. We were speaking this morning. The environment is always friendly. we should accept whatever environment Krishna's given us. She's asking, how do I deal, I think it's her, maybe, how do I deal with feelings of separation from my Guru Maharaj? I know that the relationship is eternal, but recently I cannot understand why I feel pain being away from him. Kindly give some advice on how to deal with this. Well, the comment that I may have in this regard may not be very palatable, but my comment is, the pain never goes away, and it may only get worse. When we lose association with our Guru Maharaj, when we lose association with a loved one, sometimes in some ways it becomes easier, but we can never see that person again. And it's a very, very painful thing. But there's an amazing aspect to this. In the material world, when you love someone and that person dies in an auto accident or something happens and you can't see them anymore, the relationship is finished. And all that you have is pain. It's some memories. But in spiritual life, it's not like that. You can remember, I did this and this with them. We did kirtan together. And you can draw some inspiration for that. And that inspiration is not material inspiration, it's divine inspiration. My mother left this world. But my mother appreciated the devotee. She appreciated chanting. So I should chant. I know she'll appreciate that. So let me do that. I can't see my Gurudev. But I can meet my Gurudev by honoring him, by giving him the dignity of myself following his instructions, by being a good disciple. And then I'll never be separated from my Gurudev. Yes, there's separation, and yes, I can't see him. Just like the gopis were separated from Krishna. We were speaking this morning about this, and last night both. The gopis want to see Krishna. Krishna's telling him, I came in your dream last night. It was really me. Mother Yashoda is cooking for Krishna after he left Braj. And then she's offering it to Krishna, and it disappears. She thinks she's mad. Krishna says, I ate it. On the first day, you gave me puris and sweet rice. On the next day, you gave me this and this. I'm eating it every day. Please believe me. And they wrote him a letter back. Okay, we believe you. But it's not enough. We want you to return. We want to see you here. So I can tell you, the fact is, don't think your Gurudev is dead. We said this morning. Bhaktivinoda Sajjana Toshin, he says that some people, after the disappearance of their Guru, they think, Gurudev died. He said, your Guru is not dead. You're dead. Man Morabhav, you're brain dead. You don't see that your Gurudev is still present. His instructions or his manifestation, have faith in it. Now you're being faced with a test. But tests are not bad. When you get a test, it means you're about ready to progress to the next grade in school. It's a very good thing. We should accept tests. But this is a very difficult test. I don't know how else we can deal with this. There is no other way. Something happens to our heart and we lose association with such a person, and all we can do is cry. But when we cry, our heart becomes soft. Krishna, one day, went to herd the cows with the boys. That day, Balaram stayed back because it was his birthday. The cows went ahead on that day, and Krishna was at the back. Mother Yashoda had been telling Krishna, you can go anywhere you want in Braj, but one place, don't go to Kaliya Hrada, the lake of Kaliya. Krishna went to see Balaram, and he said, Balaram, Mom's telling me this thing. Balaram said, okay, I know what you want. You can go there, but don't go in the water. She said, okay. So that morning, Balaram was staying back, and the cows went ahead, and the cows saw a place with fresh green grass they'd never been to before, Kaliya Hrada. And they went there, and they started eating the grass. It was a very hot day. The cows went to drink the water, and the cows died from the poison in the water. The cowherd boys were coming just behind them. And when the boys arrived, they saw the cows lying there dead. The boys then went and drank water. Why would you go and drink water when you saw the cows dead? Because the boys wanted to kill themselves. Jiva Goswami says, they thought these cows are Krishna's life. We've let Krishna down. The cows have died. Better we also die. And they drank that poisoned water and they died. And Krishna arrived a few minutes later. And he saw all of his cows and his dearest friends lying there dead. Krishna thought, now I'm really in trouble. What am I going to do? How am I going to go home to Vrindavan and tell the parents of these boys that their children died? Prabhupada says that Krishna cast his glance on those boys and cows and they came back to life. Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu gives a little different explanation. He says that Krishna began to cry. Krishna's personified love for those boys and those cows came out of his heart and exited through Krishna's eyes in the form of his tears. And that personified love in the form of the tears fell on those boys and cows and brought them back to life. So when we're in such a situation, Krishna will cry for us. Gurudev will cry for us. If we're crying for him, if we're following his instructions, and those tears of Krishna and Gurudev, they'll bring us back to life. So there's another question. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, how can we give up our upadis? Because as a female, you're born with an inherent tendency to become a mother, a wife, or nurturer. Even Mother Yashoda, even when she saw the universe is in Lord Krishna's mouth, she still took him as her son. She continued to chastise him as if he was naughty. So how can we give up these designations inherent of this body? Well, we adopt new designations. This is called Vaidhi Bhakti. It's not that all designations are bad. Bodily designations are bad. Bodily designations are based on violence. And therefore, seeing that we all need to have some designation, Srila Prabhupada gave us this movement, so we can become a member of ISKCON. And that's an upadhi. That's a designation. It's not who I am in the spiritual world. I'm not ISKCON in the spiritual world. When Srila Prabhupada signed the legal documents establishing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York City, Achyutananda Prabhu was there, one of Prabhupada's first disciples. And he recalls, at that time, at that momentous occasion, Prabhupada turned to the devotees suddenly and he said, actually, we don't need this. He said, for ourselves, we can chant Hare Krishna and stay under a tree. He said, but nobody will come. So we make this society. We make these temples. Because we all need some designation. And we adopt different designations. I'm an ISKCON member. I'm a disciple of XYZ Maharaj. And within our devotional community, I'm so-and-so person's husband, I'm so-and-so person's father. These are upadis, these are designations. But if these designations are in connection with Krishna, I'm a father, but I'm a Krishna-conscious father. I'm a Krishna-conscious husband, Krishna-conscious mother, Krishna-conscious wife, Krishna-conscious devotee. Then that's good. Then those upadis will help us. Doesn't mean ultimately that this is going to mean that you go to the spiritual world and you're still going to be the mother of XYZ child or the husband of XYZ lady. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean we still keep all these particular upadis. But these upadis will help us. These positive upadis are called Daivi Vanashram. It's a Vanashram system, but it's Daivi. It's something transcendental which helps to elevate us. So I want to thank all of you very much. I feel very humbled and very privileged to be in your association. Really, we can say we travel all over the world, and I haven't seen such a wonderful group of people as we've met here in South Africa. Very gentle devotees, very, very humble, very tolerant, very interested in Krishna Katha, Krishna Nam. We feel very blessed by your association. You really don't know how fortunate you are to have this temple and this congregation. I want to thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki vancha kopadarubhischa kripa sindhu bhivacha paritanam bhavani kumvaishni. Uh-oh, it's late. What do we do now?
I think we got a japa session. We're doing one round of japa. If you can lead us through that.
Okay. I would like to, Prabhuji's asking if we'll lead everybody one round of japa. That means we chant together.
Yep.
But I'd like to have a little meditation. We have a course that we give in japa. I'm just going to condense it in about 1 minute. There's six different stages to japa. The first stage is vachana, which means we pronounce articulately. You may not be able to cry for Krishna, you may not be able to think of Krishna, you may not be able to pay attention. So in the beginning, we just pronounce Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. The holy name is so powerful. You're paying attention to it. And even though you may not be listening properly, you may not be chanting with feeling, but because you're focused on pronouncing, this is the easiest way to enter into our japa. Sometimes it's very easy to chant, sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes we have something in our heart, we can cry to Krishna about, but sometimes it just seems like a labor. If it's difficult for us, we should begin with vachana. Just focus on pronouncing everything very clearly. And then from vachana comes sabdaga, or audio, we begin to hear. And as Burijan Prabhu says, just try to hear one mantra. Don't try to hear 16 rounds. Try to hear one mantra. If I can just hear one mantra, one complete mantra, not such an easy thing. And if you can do that, then maybe I can hear another mantra. And in this way, we'll start continuing. And then, number three is antagata. We become introspective. What am I doing? I'm associating with Krishna. Why am I doing this? Because my Gurudev told me. This is a service from my Gurudev. And then from three, antagata, comes prarthanam, a personal appeal. We begin to petition Krishna, please Krishna, this is who I am. I have problems. I need a husband. I need a wife. I need a new wife. I need a new husband. I don't. We have something we want to appeal to the Lord about. And from then, we can go to Sevayam. We can appeal to the Lord, please. First, in Pratanam, we're revealing our heart and what it is that we want. And then higher than that, though, we can appeal to the Lord, please give me some service. Let me serve the devotees. Let me serve my Guru Maharaj. And then comes the last stage, Vilapanam, crying for the Lord, weeping in distress. These six different stages, if we follow these, you'll come to that point of crying. But it begins with vachana. We should try to pronounce everything nicely. Okay? So we can chant one round together then.